I remember back to 1992. Bill Clinton was elected and it was all, don't stop thinking about tomorrow. But when tomorrow came in 1994, ouch, it was a Republican revolution that rolled back the Democratic gains. In 1994, Newt Gingrich led that Republican revolution. He authored the Contract with America approach to rolling back the Democrats and winning House and Senate seats and becoming Speaker of the House of Representatives in 1995 when that Congress was inaugurated. Newt Gingrich joins us now from Washington, D.C. with his plans for the 2010 election. Mr. Speaker, Newt Gingrich, good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be with you.
It's great to talk to you. Let's talk first of all about, I mean, you are a student of history, probably one of the deepest in Washington these days. Does history repeat itself in 2010? What are the principal differences between 1994 and what's going on today?
Oh, I think there are a number of differences. The economy is dramatically worse today. This is the longest, deepest recession, the longest period of unemployment since the Great Depression. I think people are more alienated by Obama's radicalism than they were by Clinton by a big margin. Much deeper sense of fear for the country, much deeper sense of concern about where we're going. I think the Republicans aren't as unified as we were in 94.
Let's talk about that for a moment, because that is a really interesting difference. You were very unified in 94. The Tea Party movement, which you've described in complimentary terms, is also a very, very divisive and disorganized set of factions across the country, don't you think?
Yeah, it's a fundamentally different environment. What you have today is a genuine populist uprising of taxpayers who are angry about deficit spending, angry about taxes, angry about radical ideas, and angry about unemployment. And so they don't trust the establishment of either party. And I think that there's a much greater populist move today than there was in 1994. But frankly, I think that's probably healthy for the country. The Republicans had failed to deliver on reforms and as a result got fired in 2006 and 2008, and the country's not prepared to turn back and give them total trust.
And some of that firing continued with the failure of the incumbents in the primaries. Tell me a little bit about this roadmap for America's future that you've authored with Congressman Paul Ryan. And I know you love to talk about policy, but can you also describe how the message has changed a little bit to reflect this anger coming out of the Tea Party?
First of all, I didn't co-author it. Paul Ryan wrote it. Congressman Ryan is really working hard to develop a conversation with the country about what do we do about entitlements, what do we do about the fact that we're all living much, much longer, and that we have to confront the difference in a country where the average person died at 46 years of age in 1900, and today the average person is going to live into their 80s. And that just requires you to think about pensions and health care and a variety of other things differently than we used to. And I think Congressman Ryan's doing a great job. I've said that I think the clearest direct way to think about this election is that the Democrats, with their job-killing policies, have become the party of food stamps, and the Republicans need to offer job-creating policies and become the party of paychecks and give the country a clear choice between the future of food stamps and a future of paychecks. And I think that the country gets it, and that's why I think you see the numbers building up around the country for the Republicans to take control of the House, and I think now have a real chance of taking control of the Senate.
We'll look to see if that message sticks, in particular the paychecks versus the food stamps comparison that you used there. But I'm wondering if one of the lessons of both the Obama apparent setback, if you look at the polls, and what happened in 1994 is that Americans really don't like radical change very much, whether it's Paul Ryan talking about a roadmap or Barack Obama talking about health care reform.
Well, I think it depends on what the change is. When we passed welfare reform in 1996, 92% of the country favored it, including 88% of the people on welfare. When we balanced the federal budget for four straight years, it was very popular. When we passed the first tax cut in 16 years in order to accelerate economic growth, people were generally supportive. I mean, not only did we win in 94, but in 1996, we became the first reelected House Republican Party since 1928. And that happened because we were doing things people wanted. I think that the challenge for Republicans is to remember that they only make sense as the party of reform, that we have to be the party. And Chris Christie, right across the river from you guys, is a great example. Chris Christie is a terrific governor, was doing almost exactly the right thing.
Although, let's talk about Christie. It's a great example. I mean, if you want to be the party of paychecks, he's canceling a tunnel that's going to employ thousands in New Jersey, his home state.
Well, it depends on whether, and I don't know the details of his decision there, but it depends on whether or not you can afford it. I mean, one of my favorite slogans is 2 + 2 = 4. Because I think it gets you down to basic, you know, let's talk about things people can't hide from. We are in a period when politicians have promised vastly more than they can deliver. The fact is that the tax burden is big and getting bigger. And if you look at New York State, the jobs have been driven out of the state for years. And north of the city, you see it. I mean, the devastation of New York's tax policies has been just extraordinary in terms of killing jobs in upstate New York.
Right. Finally, before we go, and again, I don't want to rush you, but I do wonder, because you do have a sort of historical context here, if both the Republican and Democratic identities are sort of disconnected from the continuity of the 1990s, both by 9/11 and the severity of this recession, Americans are in a fundamentally different place, and the rules don't apply in 2010.
I think that's right. I think Americans are now saying, I want you to tell me the truth. I want you to find a solution that will work, and I want you to do what it takes, no matter how hard it is. And I think that's very different than we've seen in a long time. But I think when you've had the longest, deepest period of unemployment since the Great Depression, you have to expect people to look up. When you have things like the car bomber in Times Square, people look up. They think the system's not working. I should say that one of our biggest projects is at 10millionvoters.com. Anybody wants to go to 10millionvoters.com and see a program that helps you turn out the vote this
morning. Right. Finally, in 1998, you were a big target for the Democrats who ran against you. Are you a big target in 2010 if you step into this race?
Well, I don't know. I think that people on the left don't like to be confronted about issues and values, and they take it very badly. And I noticed that Speaker Pelosi the other day attacked me for describing the party of paychecks versus the party of food stamps. But I think that we have to have the courage to talk about what's really happening and to give people a real choice.
All right, talking about the roadmap of America's future written by Congressman Paul Ryan, and also giving us his analysis of the 2010 election, Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House of Representatives, on the line from Washington. Newt Gingrich, thanks so much.
Thank you.
You can follow all of our politics coverage as we approach the midterm elections. Go to thetakeaway.org/elections. Also at our website, we're keeping the conversation going on the new installment of the video game Medal of Honor. Should you be able to play as Taliban fighters shooting American soldiers? A listener in Philadelphia calling himself Mr. Tommy J writes, "People are just looking for an excuse to stir something up. None of these protesters will see this game, let alone play it, so it's stupid for them to protest. Some of my best friends are or were U.S. Marines, and even they don't care. It's a storytelling tactic. So far, this game looks severely accurate, and I believe the Taliban should have stayed." He's talking about changing the name from Taliban to Opposing Force. What do you think? Share your view with us by heading to thetakeaway.org. You can always call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.